Let's pray for the message. God, we thank you for your word today. Give us ears to hear what we need to hear. Pray for open hearts and open minds, God. That we would literally, all the things going on in our life would just fall to the side for a moment. So we can sit at your feet, Jesus. And we can learn about you, about ourselves, and about your promises. I thank you for your faithfulness. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So if you have your Bibles, you can open them to the Gospel of John, chapter 6. Chapter 6 is a standalone chapter. John's intent with this amazing account is not only to record history of our miracle-working Lord, but to emphasize that Jesus Christ is truly God the Son. So far, Jesus has fed thousands of people with 5 barley crackers and 2 sardine-like fish, proving that God provides. In a lot of our Bibles, it says 5 loaves, but they were really like crackers, which makes it even more amazing. And that proves that God provides. Last week we studied Jesus sending his 12 closest disciples across the Sea of Galilee into a storm. The feeding of the thousands was the lesson. Rowing through the storm was a test. Being tested in the storms of life is for our sanctification. And if we look, we will see that God is with us. Storms build faith in us because God is faithful. We also see where we're weak. When we can't, God can, and he does. We must keep our eyes on Jesus and not the storm. When we doubt, we start sinking. Amen. We fix our eyes on the word of God and his promises instead of our feelings. And we find ourselves walking on top of the storm in the supernatural with the peace of Jesus Christ that only he can bring. Amen. Today's text will show us the difference between true and false disciples of Jesus. There's a big difference between seeking Jesus for what he can do for you or for us and seeking him for salvation. An intimate relationship with Jesus Christ is the prize. It is the solution, the reward, the blessing, and the highest honor a sinner saved by grace can experience. Unfortunately, many people just seek the gifts and not the gift giver. Lord, give us ears to hear and hearts that receive what you have for us today. In Jesus' name, amen. So I will read the text as usual and then we'll break it down. John chapter 6 verses 22 through 32. The next day, the crowd that had stayed on the opposite shore of the lake realized that only one boat had been there and that Jesus had not entered it with his disciples, but that they had gone away alone. Then some boats from Tiberias landed near the place where the people had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. Once the crowd realized that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they got into boats and went to Capernaum in search of Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him, God the Father has placed his seal of approval." Then they asked him, what must we do to do the works that God requires? Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." So they asked him, what sign then do you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus said to them, very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. So in this text, we will look at five ways to follow Jesus as a false disciple. Judas Iscariot is the prototype of a false disciple. Amen. He walked with Jesus and his heart was never with him. Judas wanted Jesus to conquer Rome and make him a leader in the kingdom, in the here and now. Like Judas was hoping that Jesus would take over, conquer Rome, and Judas would be one of his main men. He wanted the physical. And when Jesus revealed over and over again that I came to die, I'm going to die, Judas betrayed him. The word for disciple is, the Greek word is mathetes or mathetes or, however you pronounce it. But it just means student, learner. So there are true disciples, there are true students, true learners of Jesus. And then there are false students, false learners of Jesus. First one is this. False disciples are attracted by the crowd. In John, verses 22 and 23, we see the next day the crowd that had stayed on the opposite shore of the lake realized that only one boat had been there and that Jesus had not entered it with his disciples, but they had gone away alone. Then some boats from Tiberias landed near the place where the people had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. Let's show that slide we've been showing for the last couple weeks, Tim. So just to show you, I have a new pointer. My other one broke, so I got a green one. Jesus fed the thousands of people right here in the wilderness near Bethsaida. He sent the disciples right across the sea. They hit the storm across the Sea of Galilee. And they actually ended up in Gennesaret, according to Mark chapter 6, and walked down to Capernaum. So when Jesus sent his disciples on the boat, he dismissed the crowd. Right? He said, okay, guys, we're all done for today. And they're like, all right, later. See you tomorrow so you can feed us again. Notice that none of them said, no, I'm not going anywhere, Jesus. I'm going wherever you're going. You hold the words of life. They just said, okay, see you tomorrow. Had their fill. And well, now they're on the shore. Now they're on the shore and they're like, where's the boat? Where's Jesus? We're hungry. It's breakfast. And more boats are coming over from Tiberias, right? A crowd attracts a crowd. And I think that that's just human nature. If any of us are walking down the street and a crowd has gathered and see, you're going to, right? But that's what brings a lot of people and to put like a modern day example is when people are drawn, oh man, did you hear about such and such church, man? They got it going on. It's packed over there, you know, and we should do church like them. And it's that human thing that we have, that if there's a crowd, that it must be good, when truly it's not always the case. Amen. I'm not saying that there aren't huge churches that are dedicated to, you know, obeying the word, preaching the word just as it is, and there isn't like, it's not a big church. I get it. There are big churches that are doctrinally sound, but there are many that do not preach the whole counsel of God, that are very seeker-friendly, that don't want anybody in the audience to think that they're a sinner. And those churches are packed. The crowd attracts a crowd. Number two, false disciples are fascinated by the promise of a supernatural experience. Verse 24, once the crowd realized that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they got into the boats and went to Capernaum in search of Jesus. And look, honestly, who doesn't want to have a genuine supernatural manifestation, a supernatural experience? I get that. But when we chase the miracle, when we're chasing the feeling of the power of a supernatural experience and not the one, we get caught up in emotion. We can get caught up if we're chasing miracles or we're chasing, you know, prophets. And, you know, there's people that go to church just to, oh, prophesy over me. Oh, give me a word. And I understand, you know, when we get a prophetic word, it's moving. It'll change your life. It's something you can hold on to. But if that's what we're chasing and we're not really dying to self, getting to know Christ, the one who, through the power of the Holy Spirit, gave that person the word for you, that we're just chasing. We're chasing the gift and not the gift giver. And in that, if we don't know Jesus, if we don't know his word, we are more apt to fall into false doctrine. We're more apt to end up getting into churches that are really cults. We're more apt to getting sideways and getting, start sitting under somebody teaching not the whole counsel of God, which unfortunately happens. The greatest miracle and gift of all is to know God, amen? Is to know a holy, righteous God intimately. A miracle of healing, a miracle of deliverance, provision doesn't save you. God does what he does. I'm not taking any away. You know I'm not taking anything away from you, Lord. But that in and of itself is not salvation. God heals who he wants to heal. He delivers who he wants to deliver. How he wants, when he wants, with who he wants. Amen? He's God. But the greatest miracle is the miracle of salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And it comes at a cost. Well, salvation's free, Pastor Chris. Yes, it is. But it costs you your ego. It'll cost you your right to do whatever you want. Yeah, it'll cost you your pride. It comes at a cost. But it's worth it, amen? Amen. Number three. I totally numbered these wrong. Tim, I hope you caught it. Yes, you did. Thank God. Number three, false disciples only desire earthly satisfaction. Verses 25 and 26, when they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, Rabbi, when did you get here? And Jesus answered and said, very truly, I tell you, you're looking for me, not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. There's a couple things I want you to notice that they found him. They called him teacher. Rabbi. They didn't call him Lord. There's a huge difference between Jesus being a prophet from God and Lord. Jesus being a healer, a man of God sent from God that teaches well, or the Son of God. These people did not believe. They knew he could do miracles. They knew he could teach because Jesus taught like nobody else. None of their other rabbis taught. But when they addressed him only as teacher, not Lord. And Jesus completely ignores the question. They're like, hey, when'd you get here? We're hungry. He ignores the question and he begins his sermon. Now, as we go into this, guys, you have to remember Jesus is loving them. He's not yelling at them. He's giving them hard truths in love to save them, to give them an opportunity. Hey, this is where you're at. I know your heart. And you're in danger of eternity without me in hell. If you continue this, you're in danger. You're not really saved. Your religion tells you you're saved, but you're not. And I love you. So here I'm telling you, you're not looking for me because you saw the mirror. And he's been teaching, healing, delivering. He fed, it wasn't just 5,000, because either in Mark or Matthew it said 5,000 men and women and children. So it's like, let me just, on a modest side, it's 10,000. And he's done all these things. And yet, they're just looking to him as a trick pony. Hey, genie Jesus, let me rub your lamp and make a wish. Make my life better now. And they're missing it. Unfortunately, some people have no desire to actually crucify themselves, their lives, their choices, and obey God at his word. They come to church for the food, the companionship, but they're not really interested in the sanctification part. Maybe they only pray in emergencies. Oh God, I'm in this now. Well, hey, ring, ring. In Isaiah 55, 6 and 7, it says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. So actions and thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. It's beautiful. The gift of salvation is free. It absolutely is. It doesn't take works. We don't work and try. But it's a real commitment to God, or surrender, I should say. A surrender. God, I know you've given me the free will to make choices in my life, but let my choices glorify you. When I'm about to do something, may Holy Spirit remind me that I'm your child before I do anything. May my life, now that I've given my life to you, I still live my life, but may it bring you glory. May I be the light in this world that you've given me, that you graced me with. You've forgiven me. You've forgiven me of my past. You've forgiven me of my sin if I sin today. And you've forgiven me for my future, which opens us up for a real, authentic relationship with a holy God. Well, we don't have to fake it. We get to be ourselves, but it's a repentant heart, right? God, I'm sorry. I blew it. But I'm not going to let myself get condemned by it. I'm going to dust myself off and I'm coming after you, Jesus. Number four. False disciples have no interest in real worship. They seek personal fulfillment and prosperity. 27 and 28. Jesus tells them this. Do not work for the food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him, God the Father has placed his seal of approval. Then they asked him, what must we do to do the works God requires? So we see that they're still missing it. They're still wanting, like, Jesus, make my life better now. They still have that mentality because he's telling them, look, your whole religious system is works. You think that not doing this or doing this or, you know, I mean, all the way to their Sabbath where they couldn't pass the salt. They'd have to use their elbow and not their hand. You know, they would do these crazy things of just bondage, and they thought that gave them salvation. And Jesus is like, no, none of that does it. The Son of Man will give you, right? We work for physical food. And this is not Jesus said, don't work. He's saying we don't work for spiritual food. We don't have to strive and work towards a salvation with God. We work to eat, but Jesus, and look at this, that the Son of Man will give you. Gifts are given, not earned. Amen? So, Jesus, the Son, gives us the spiritual food that leads to eternal life. Yet, they replied, and this is what they mean by this. Well, what must we do to do the works God requires? Basically, they're saying, well, if you're not going to feed us, teach us how to make bread out of nothing. Give us the power. What do we got to do for God to acknowledge us and then we can do what you do? They miss it. Look, and this for us, to put this in perspective for today, because it's good that we work hard, we provide for our families, that's a good thing. We're children of God, and in our workplace, what we do should always really be excellent under the Lord, right? We should be the friendliest, the most productive people, because we're trying to glorify God with what we do. But we shouldn't strive for material gain more than we strive to know Jesus. You see what I'm saying? Like, it's not a works thing to earn his love, but I do have to get into action and open my Bible to get to know him, right? To get to know who I am in him. I do need to make an effort to position myself to be in his word, in fellowship with other believers, chopping up scripture, understanding it more, because the scriptures say, you shall know the truth and the truth will set you free. Amen? We got to know it to be free. So that's when he says, don't work for food, work for food that endures to eternal life. It's things aren't bad. I pray to God you guys, you know, have, and I know you have beautiful lives. But if you're going to strive for anything, strive to know the promises. Strive to know Jesus, not earning your salvation, but just to know him. Because he's the prize. He's his word, he's the word made flesh. So every word in here that points to him also reveals the character of God. So then we know, I might be feeling a certain way. I might be feeling defeated. I go to the Word. What does the truth say? I stand on the truth. I feel my feelings. I stand on the truth. We talked about that. Deuteronomy 8:3, Moses is saying this to the Israelites in the desert. He says, He humbled you, God humbled you, causing you to hunger and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors has known. Why? To teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God, of the Lord. And this is the very same scripture Jesus quoted to the devil in the desert when he told him, you're God. Make bread out of these rocks. I know you can. But he didn't fall to the temptation. He gave him the scripture. Because truly, guys, it is the Lord that gives and the Lord that takes away. It's the Lord that allows and a Lord that keeps things back. Performance doesn't manifest the anointing. Remember that. It is full submission and obedience to God. It's a humble, contrite heart of just being submitted to God. Like, God, I don't have to be the first in line. I'm just blessed I'm in the line. You know, God, I don't need to be on a stage. Just use my life. Anywhere I am, my life is yours. If give me eyes to see the broken. Give me eyes to see the needs of others so that I can serve with your power. It's not about me, God. It's about you and your healing and your grace and your mercy and your love for me. How blessed am I that you know my name. And that's when the anointing hits, baby. It's not this stage. Stage doesn't mean nothing. It's submission and obedience. God will use you in powerful, powerful ways in your sphere of influence. And you know what? It's the best thing, walking away going, wow. God used me in that situation. You'll pray prayers and you'll go, I can't believe I said that. Where did that come from? That was powerful. You know? But that's Him. And that's you. And here's the thing. That's the intimacy. You've been so close to Him in private. Just communing with Him in private that's it's pouring out in public. You're locked and loaded wherever you go. Amen? Amen? So verse 29, Jesus answers and said, the work of God is this. You want to know the works? Here's one work. Believe in the one He sent. Believe. Jesus is standing before Him saying, believe that I am the I am. I am who I am. I am the Son. I am the Messiah that has been prophesied about for all of these years. And so for us as a church in 2026, this word is still alive. And Jesus still stands before us and says, hey, just believe in me. Believe me at my word. Trust me. Even when your feelings are all over the place. Even when your past tries to come up and remind you what you did and try to tell you that you're not worthy and you're a fake. See, I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. I'm a child of God and the promises of God are for me forever. My past doesn't define me. God says He's got a future for me, and it's good, baby. And I'm walking in it. And it may be messy, but it's mine, and it's His. Amen? And that's where you get your strength, Because we're all inadequate. We are. Good news, eh? Pressure's off. The more we commune with Him, the more we dine with Him, the more we say yes, God, to You and no to my flesh, the more power we experience, the more manifestations of the miracles and the glory to be a child of God and operate in the Spirit through life, through the ups and downs. We walk on the water with Jesus. In Romans, this is the difference between religion and relationship. In Romans, Paul puts it so good in Romans chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. It says, now to the one who works, wages are not credited as a gift, but as an obligation, right? You work, you get paid. You work, you expect to get a paycheck on Friday, right? It's not a gift. You earn that. However, to the one who does not work, but trusts God, who justifies the ungodly, their faith is credited as righteousness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That we can all be honest. Your pastor can be honest and say, hey guys, I'm a sinner. I don't have to pretend. I reached some Christian threshold where, like, yeah, man, sin doesn't bother me anymore. You should study more. Have more faith. No. No. This is a real authentic walk with Jesus. And when I fail, first, I remember how much He loves me and that He died for me. And then I repent and I ask God to help me be better, to help me annihilate the flesh one day at a time, one moment at a time. But I do not let it condemn me. Because I want you to focus on how much God loves you when you fall. And let His love draw you in. Because it's His love. It's the revelation of how much God loves us that actually brings that change. It says, you know what? I don't want to sin like that anymore. I love fellowship with God. And I know when I do this or this, I throw mud in that pure water. That is our relationship. I know that I just muddy the waters. And listen, God, I'm using that as a visual, but we are absolutely forgiven. We are covered in the blood. He's not disappointed in us. He sees us as holy and blameless every day, all day. That's what we need to remember. But we let that conviction sanctify us, purify us. So we can just glorify our King. Amen? We can glorify, look more like Him. And number five, the last one. Man, I didn't know if I'd get through this today. Praise the Lord. Number five, false disciples make demands on God. Verse 30. So they asked Him, what sign then will you give? If you want us to believe in you, do something. I'll read the scripture. What sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? It's like, are you kidding me? These people have seen all that. They just were fed all they wanted to eat that day. Them and 9,999 other people. Or whatever, it could be 15, could be 20. I'm just trying to be modest, Lord, you know, don't want to stretch. But thousands and thousands of people got fed. They've seen the healings. Their family members, friends were sick and Jesus healed them. And now they're like, okay, if you want us to believe in you, do something. And I mean, in modern day, I'll believe it if God does this. I'll believe in you if you do this. I'll believe it when I see it. Listen. All of Jesus's miracles were to point them that, hey, I am that. I'm the one. I'm the Messiah. I'm the Messiah who loves you that you've been waiting for. And they say this in verse 31. It says, our ancestors ate manna in the wilderness as it is written. They're quoting scripture, Jesus. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. You know what they're saying? Moses fed millions of people for 40 years and you only fed us yesterday. What will you do? You got do something like Moses did. I mean, feed us for 40 years and then maybe we'll believe. That's where they're at. And Jesus says to them, very truly I tell you, that's amen, amen. It is, and it shall be so. It is, and it shall be so. This means, listen, very truly I tell you, it's not Moses who's given you the bread of heaven, from heaven. It's my Father, and who gives you the true bread from heaven. It was God who fed you in the wilderness. It wasn't Moses. Moses was a servant. It's the Father who feeds you. Jesus was a servant in the feeding. He let the disciples be servants in the feeding. We get to be servants, waiters in the miracles of God, the miracles of the Father through the Son. And it's like, the true bread stands before you and you can't see it because of your unbelief. Because you're so wrapped up in religion. You're so wrapped up in that prideful religion that you can't see the true bread when he stands before you. And Jesus is pleading with them. Listen, guys, when God knocks on your heart, God knocks on your heart, open it. You know? Today's like a reality check. Let me take a little sip. Oh, I'm closing right now. I just noticed it's 11:30. It's our first one, okay? I'm not used to this time. No, I'm just kidding. Listen. Reality check. No condemnation. Just conviction. Do you have that real faith in God? When the rubber meets the road, are you here because of community? Are you here because friends? And listen, many, many things bring us to church. I want him to heal my marriage. I want him to deliver me from drugs or alcohol. Many things bring us here. Don't let that be the only thing that keeps you here. Seek the gift giver. Because if you seek him, you will find him. It's a promise. Right? And he says what? Seek first the kingdom of God and everything else will be added unto you. Everything else you're tripping on is going to be dealt with. Amen. Seek him. Seek his kingdom. Be a real student of the Lord. Be a real disciple. You may not understand it all. It's okay. Be honest. Hey, I'm at where I'm at. We have many Bible studies here. We got discipleship going on for us to get deeper into understanding the scriptures. Commit that to your life. Take a step of faith and commit some time in your life to get to know the King. And think about the commitment that you're making in the sense of, Lord Jesus, I want you to be my Lord. I don't understand it all right now, but I know that I'm giving my life to you today. I'm giving you my life. You are in control. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Let me see with your eyes. Let me think your thoughts. And let me understand your word like never before. And then use me as a vessel to spread your truth, your peace, your light, your love, your grace, and your mercy. Amen? Okay, I'm closing. I'm landing the plane. Stop going like this, Joe. And just we're all, hey, look, I don't know where everybody's at, but we pray in this church, and we pray a prayer of surrender. So maybe you've never given your life fully to Jesus, or maybe you've said the prayer, but you know your life hasn't, you got convicted today. It hasn't been a true disciple. Walk with him. Today's the day. Either give your life to Jesus. Salvation has come to this house. The Holy Spirit's here. Jesus is here. The Father is here. And you're here on purpose. So we pray a prayer of surrender. And that's what I want you to do today. If you've fallen away, today's a perfect day to rededicate your heart and your life to Christ. You're forgiven. Dust yourself off and chase after God. Amen? Amen. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you've never given your life to Jesus Christ or you want to rededicate your heart today, just raise your hand and we'll pray. Amen. I see your hands. I see your hands. Amen. Church, let's pray this prayer together. Father God in heaven, thank you for your son Jesus. I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. I ask you to come into my heart, come into my life, cleanse me and change me. I ask you to fill me with your Holy Spirit and make your word come alive. I thank you for your forgiveness. I turn from my sin and I turn to you. Today, I am yours and you are mine. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, church. I love you. I love you. I love you. One church, one service in unity. Father God, I pray your highest and best upon your people as they go. God, remind us who we are this week and empower us to be the light and the love that this world desperately needs. In Jesus' name, amen. Love you guys.